Well, you know, Pat said we're not going to hear another report to Easter. Is that what I heard you say? When is Easter? It must be coming up next Sunday. You know, he gives us these weather reports right away. And I thought back whenever he was talking about no altar and that people might want to respond. And Kay and I were at a camp in North Alabama, comparable to Blue Lake. It was Camp Sumatonga, meeting in a big room like this and metal chairs. I was sitting in the back and had my legs crossed, and preacher, he just gave a quick invitation, you know, for people just, really, I think he was praying about the Holy Spirit. Well, I stood up in one leg and gone to sleep. And I started falling back. And so I just threw my arms out. And I knocked out three rows of metal chairs. Everybody thought I'd gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. They got excited. It was just a great evening. And so I'm kind of looking back there. If Larry falls over and knocks over two or three chairs, I'm going to just say, thank you, Lord. He's still... blesses us. Well, it is a joy to fill in for Pastor Bill tonight. He's enjoying a week away with his family up in Gatlinburg, and I just, you know, been there, love that spot, and there's a place where you can go and eat a big breakfast. It's got a funny name. Kay, do you remember the name of that restaurant? Crockett's, anybody ever eaten that? I think it's something like Crockett's.
Yes.
If you hadn't, you ought to go up there and eat. I mean, they bring you a meal out there that you just thank Jesus for. You know, that's good. Well, and I want to say up front tonight, we will be imposing the ashes on your forehead, and appreciate Pat helping. He's left-handed. He said he's of the tribe of Benjamin. So I put him on the left hand. But what Pat doesn't know is that it doesn't matter to me. I can work my right hand or my left hand. Fork in either one, you know. But thank you, Pat. You're a man of many talents, and I thank you for all you do for our church. Well, this season of Lent, and I'll get to the scripture in just a moment because I wanted to put it in context of our message tonight about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. Luke records it starts in chapter 9, and he takes about 10 chapters to get from there into Jerusalem. Mark just moves real quick right on over into Jerusalem. But there are so many things happened on that journey. And our scripture tonight from Luke chapter 9 is one of those times when Jesus is rejected again. You know, even from his birth, they didn't have room for him. Mary and Joseph at an inn. Throughout his ministry, certainly the hierarchy and the priest hierarchy and the church never accepted the kingdom teaching. Even his own family, for the most part, couldn't hardly believe that he was really the Messiah till later in their own journey. And this is one of those times whenever Jesus is betrayed and rejected again. It's on this journey, and that comes out of Luke chapter 9. It says, and when it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he knew the time was hand for him to be the lamb slain for the sins of the world. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. You know, sometimes you judge things by the way people, I mean, if they're really focused on something, you can hardly do, you can see them shopping in the grocery store. I mean, they're looking for one item, and you can walk in front of them, you can stand there and get right beside them, and they're just focused. I like to do that too, you know. They ought to hire me at Walmart, because I can tell you, nearly every time I have to get stuff off the top shelves. Larry, you're not going to get that job. That's going to be my gig. Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And the Samaritans did not receive him. And this is what Luke writes. Because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, without that we command fire from heaven and consume them and burn them up, even as Elijah did. Remember back in the Old Testament, they were sending a captain and his 50 men up on the mountain to get Elijah if he was really the man of God. And God sent down fire and burned up all 50 of them. And sent another 50 and another captain. If you're really the man of God, come on down to Jehu. Elijah called down fire on that 50. Third time. The captain finally got wise, and he said, you are the man of God. So that's where this old James and John, you know, Jesus called them the sons of thunder. And here's a good illustration there. By the way, my name is James. You know, y'all just kind of James and John, sons of thunder. Y'all better walk gently. Just a little word to the wise. When his disciples came, Lord, would you have us do this? Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. When I read that, it just came to my mind so many things about this story. Jesus sent his kind of what we in our day call the advance team, you know, to go and kind of make preparation for the Jesus and never how many disciples were with him for food or maybe even spend the night. And I like what the preacher W.E. Sangster about 75 years ago wrote on. He said it wasn't because he was a Jew that they turned him down, but it was probably because he had his face set toward Jerusalem. Well, I had to just kind of find out, well, why would those Samaritans react like that, just seeing his face? I'm sure there was a look about it that just they couldn't handle that. I felt like a short history of why the Samaritans and Jews were at such odds all the time. It started way back in 722 B.C. Samaria's north of Jerusalem up there. Pretty powerful country. Assyria, north of them, had invaded Samaria, captured them, carried them off, and always these foreign adversaries would leave a remnant of Jews wherever they... And so the Assyrians came and lived there and eventually intermarried with those Jews, and that meant now they were no longer pure Jews. Half-breeds. Despised by the, you know, James and John, who would be willing to just burn them up. What a lovely spirit, you know, seeing somebody different. Since they were no longer true Jews, that meant they couldn't worship in the temple in Jerusalem, just like full Jews could. So they had to stand outside, and even like the slaves or Gentiles had to worship in the outer courts. And so they just took the same scripture, first five books of the Old Testament, then they built their own temple up on Mount Gerizim. So I suppose this Jesus, instead of looking toward Jerusalem, if he'd have said to these people, or maybe they had thought, you know, Jesus, if you'll go with us to work up on our mountain, you know, if you'll embrace what we believe, we'll gladly have you stay tonight. But they turned him down, rejected him. And it's really sad when it says that. And he just went to another village. And that, you know, sometimes the Spirit really works on our hearts. And if we don't respond to it, it's almost like, well, I'll just go to somebody else. I'll prompt them to do it. I don't want to miss the Spirit. I have done that too many times, I'm sure. But no hospitality there. James and John, you know, didn't respect them. Didn't have any love for them either. And it's amazing, Jesus, in the scripture, Luke says, Jesus didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to say, he could have said to James and John, you know, you guys have been with me. Y'all still at, y'all gonna get me another set of disciples. I'm done with y'all. Yeah. He stayed with them, and they became gospel writers, you know. Now, Jesus' face was set Jerusalem. Oh, by the way, he told a parable about a Samaritan that changed the whole image of a Samaritan. I'm going to see if somebody here knows what that parable was that changed the image of what a Samaritan is. Anybody got a good guess?
Good Samaritan.
That's it. Who said that? Y'all did? Ken's going to take y'all all out to dinner. Thank you, Ken. That's right. You remember Jesus, next chapter, 9 and chapter 10. See, this had just happened with the Samaritan. So now Jesus tells a story. He said, you know, this fellow was coming from Jerusalem, going down to Jericho, got robbed, beat up, left on the side of the road. And a preacher came by, saw him and passed by. And the Levite. Guess who stopped? The Samaritan. The same ones that James and John wanted to burn up. Now Jesus is using them as the good guy. And he binds up the guy's wounds and takes him in the village and tells the hotel people, take good care of him. I'll be back in a couple days. If he's got a few more expenses, I'll pick him up. Wow. And ever since then, it'd be kind of a nice commendation to be called a Samaritan. One chapter. It's amazing. Burn them up. Take them to the hotel. That's Jesus. His face was set, and twice, and that one, six verses, he says his face was sent to Jerusalem. There was an old hymn, you know, Pat likes tell us about hymns. Isaac Watts wrote this hymn. Come we that love the Lord, march in the Zion. And let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord and surround the throne. We're marching to Zion. See, Jerusalem is called the city of Zion, holy Zion. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. So our challenge tonight, I know it's, we're going to impose the ashes to remind us that, you know, we are dust. But we're also marching to Zion, the kingdom of God. We're not to be like James and John, but we're to be like that Samaritan. Let us reflect on our days so that when we're rejected, like Jesus, instead of wanting to burn them up, that we'll act like Jesus. So as we march toward Zion, are we willing to bear rejection and dislike and like Jesus did? Sometimes it's hard on us. And I did list 7 things. Bill listed 3 Sunday, and I wanted to just kind of talk about these a little bit as we take this month to kind of self-examine our own lives, where we are. And this first one is kind of renewing our Bible reading and making prayer a higher priority. This last couple days ago, we went to Panama City to see Kay's sister's birthday, and her husband, Al, is a Vietnam veteran, like some here, a Marine, a lot of bombs. He's lost his hearing. Alzheimer's has set in, Parkinson or something. He's on 100% disability. Can't see. He's got a big old stime in his eye. I married he and Beth in 1972. So the first thing he did when we got there, he was sitting on the back porch, and he came out and he brought the Bible Kay and I gave them in 72. And Beth said he looks at it every day. And I thought, well, wow. I'm impressed. And then, later on, he brought out this magnifying glass that was that big around. And it even had a light on it. And he wanted to show me how it worked. And I said, yeah, Al, and I'm holding this Bible, and I'm holding it up. And then I discovered maybe a couple of hours later, Beth had gotten a birthday card and homemade one that said, roses are red, you know, that violet's blue. And so anyway, the letters were about an inch and a half tall. Red, roses are red. And Kay asked him if he could read that letter. And I think he finally could see the letter R. Told us it's R. But he couldn't read the word. And my heart was broken. Here's my brother-in-law for 50 years. And he can't read. Even with a magnifying glass. I had one set out. Sugar, did you see it sitting on the table? Did you put it away? Because I had it sitting next to my Bible. And nowhere to be, because I was going to hold it up where you could see me. Big old eyes. So what I'm saying is, you know, enjoy the word. You know, this Lent, maybe just decide to get a different translation, New Living Translation. That word's good. Thank you, Ken. I like the King James, but those these and thous are where you out, you know. Because every time I think back on Al holding that up, trying to read, he wouldn't know if it was upside down or not. And while we got our sight, you know, take advantage of it this Lenten season. Fasting a meal a day or a meal every few days. Or just today was getting my computer worked on, and I took it in to the fella early this morning and said, can I just stop by and get you a sausage biscuit or something? And he thanked me and said no. And so at lunch, I went back by there. He had the get some passwords. Don't you hate passwords? I got a book full of passwords and I can't even remember what they go to. So I said, well, how about if I bring you a hamburger today? And finally I edged him on so much, he said, you know, I'm fasting. And then I felt like the devil, you know, tempting Jesus in the wilderness, you know, trying to make those stones in the bread. Here twice, I said, let me bring you a sausage biscuit. I'll bring you a hamburger. Gosh. And you know, he didn't want to say he was fasting, but that, and Jesus said three in the Sermon on the Mount, three things that really help us in the kingdom. Our giving, he says, when you do your alms, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, you know. Don't, and it could be baking a cake for somebody or give them $20 or whatever, but don't get back there in the corner and say, yeah, you know, we really enjoyed taking that coconut cake over there. We loved it. Shame on us. We ought to do it in secret. When we pray, go in the closet, Jesus said. You don't have to tell anybody about it. And he sees in secret, and he'll reward you openly. Same way about giving, you know, and praying. You don't have to use a whole lot of words. And I know, so I had a men's group in Panama City, men's group, and I work on them to kind of go around, let a different one pray. And they'd say, Brother Jim, I'm just not good at prayer. So I wrote some out on a 3x5 card. And I said, just pull it out when it's your turn. I'll make everybody close their eyes. Our guys, don't be peeking. And then you pull it out and read it. And, you know, they finally got the victory. Well, if we have to do that for a while, to do it. You know, God will honor that. Asking the Holy Spirit to reveal prejudicial attitudes in our heart. Talk to another fella. I'd just seen on news that Jesse Jackson had died. And so, and just in passing, I said, well, do you know that Reverend Jesse Jackson died this morning? And the man said, who you think cares about that? Wow. Wow. Not that he's our bosom buddy, but he ought to be a fellow human like the Samaritan that we and give thanks for his life. Gosh, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? It's that prejudice that hangs on us. And I know, you know, there are cultural things. But we've got to rise above that. Being more worshipful and faithful in church. I'm speaking to the choir now, not this choir. They're here. And years ago, Kay and I, up near Gatlinburg, we stayed in one of those vacation rentals by owners, Burgo or something like that. But anyway, it was an old lodge called the Linger Longer Lodge. And it was an old lodge. It was made out of logs and cold, and we used to slip under a half a dozen quilts, I know, in that lodge. It made you linger longer. All right, men, y'all know what I'm talking about, linger longer. Now, on Sundays, we don't have to just bust on out of here and go somewhere right quick. Let's linger a little longer and just see somebody, speak to them, love on them a little bit, just get to know them. And that just enriches our worship so much more. Linger Longer Lodge. Any of you ever stayed in that up there? Okay. You ought to do it. It'll help your marriage. Number five, am I generous with the blessings God has given me? And, you know, we ought to be the most generous. Now, tonight, Ken, you were supposed to tell us this was for benevolence, local. That's all right. We'll get them next time, next year at Easter, when Pat now announces it. But be generous, you know. I'm trying to enlarge my tipping. You know, I don't know whoever set 10 or 15 or 20% as a tip. And I've got a family member, when he gets his ticket, now he looks down at the cost of everything, not the tax and not the 3% for your card or whatever they had nowadays. And he's going to just tip right on the exact cost. The old tight wad. And I'm not speaking of myself. But, you know, I'll tell you what, how God has dealt with me on some of this. Almost I can't help it. If I see the waitress or waiter, I'm thinking, wonder if that was my mom having to work. Or, you know, maybe there's some circumstances there. And so I want to be generous with the blessings of God, bless people, and as well as financially, and just give them, you know, as God will direct you. About number six, do people I work with find it easy and uplifting to be around me? Ooh, I don't want to ask them why y'all out at the out in the parking lot, me going there and ask them, you know, how y'all get along with them? Oh, Brother Jim, you don't want to know. They ought to know. I want to know. You ought to be the most friendly and the happiest and most joyous, even if you're the CEO. I did have another good article I was going to read to you about a CEO that was a crabby thing. I mean, it was a bad article. Had a heart situation, changed it. Can't find my good article. You know, the Sunday school class gave us a gift for Christmas. You know, a gift card. And I wrote a good thank you note to them. I can't find my note. It's the truth. Y'all think I'm making this up. It's the truth. So I want people to find it easy and uplifting to be around us. You know, let's be the joyful people of the kingdom. And of course, are we growing in our relationship with Jesus? Now, eight chapters later, chapter 17, I got five more pages of notes. Y'all just need to relax, because this is fixing to get good here. Chapter 17, Jesus heals 10 lepers. Remember that story? And how many return to thank him? Do you know what chapter 17, verse 16 says? And he was a Samaritan. Wow. And Jesus says to him, it's your faith that has saved you. Wow. See, Jesus just wouldn't let up. He wasn't going to let those Jews just keep hammering the Samaritans. And he healed them. And then those four little words, he was a Samaritan. I don't know about the other nine. They may have been Samaritans too. Scripture doesn't tell us. So as we carry the sign of the cross with the imposition of the ashes, let's not be ashamed of the witness that we bear for Christ in these days. Because he comes to where we are. He came to those Samaritans in that village. And he came to another village. And he was there with those lepers. And he'll come to us, and let's not be embarrassed by him or ashamed of him. Not to say we just like Jesus and we like the things he stands for, we like the Christian credentials, but to take our stand with him and be rejected and love our Samaritans. And I got a few Samaritans, even in my own family. Takes my best effort to love them sometimes. Use these days of Lent to think about why Jesus came in the first place, to seek and to save men's lives, not to destroy them. And we will then come to Good Friday challenged and humbled, and I trust renewed and refreshed. Isaac Watts, same hymn, he says, "Let those who refuse to sing, who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high." Wow. That's where we're going. That's our aim and our focus. And in the meantime, let's love our Samaritans. Amen. And linger longer. Let's pray. Lord, as we prepare our hearts now to kind of think about our own lives and those areas that we need refreshing to get a new focus on. Maybe like my brother Al, he just cannot see. Help us to look at things with new eyes. Help us to be pleasing to you. And when we find our hearts wanting to turn away from our Samaritans, Holy Spirit, bring Luke back to mind and the story of the Good Samaritan. May we, the people of Five Rivers, be your best ambassadors. And I pray in your precious name. Amen.